this morning. If you this is your first time here or your 51st time here, welcome. Awesome to see all you guys. Rob Soli. No, that's right. Yeah. No, this is a good, I know it's like I say it every time I'm up here. This is a good place to be, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but it's a good place to be. I'm glad you're here, and it's just want to emphasize again or remind us again that everything that we do here is to direct attention and glory and honor and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're applauding, our applause is going to the King of Kings. If we're waving flags and dancing, it's to glorify God. If we're up here playing the bass guitar, it's to glorify Jesus. If we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, we're glorifying God and we're bringing attention to Him, and we're not, anything else other than that. So I just praise His holy name. He's a good God. Thank you, Jesus. There's a couple of little things. Next, on the 9th to the 13th, up at on the north end of town, at Child's Industrial Park. There's a tent meeting with those two gals from the north. Yeah, what Sonny said, Dorothy and Lori are coming from the north country. So that tent meeting is going on that they do every year, and that's always a terrific time of prayer and just meeting with God and worshiping Him, receiving ministry from the people there in the name of Jesus. And it's always a good place to be. That's the 9th to the 13th, so that's coming up this week, Child's Industrial Park. Oh, next week is going to be awesome. I mean, there's a chap coming. His name is Ravi Kendall, and you can check him out on YouTube. This guy is from India. I believe he lives in the States now. He's just got an amazing testimony. You watch these different testimonies of his where they're filming him, and he's walking around India and different places where God tells him in the morning or in the middle of the night, go here and do this. He goes there, he does that, and just astounding testimonies and happenings. And they're filming this. Anyways, you can check this guy out on YouTube if you want. Ravi Kendall, K-E-N-D-A-L, I believe it is. He's going to be here next week. He's going to be here. This week he's going to be, he's preaching in Ponoka, right? Yeah, he's going to be, I lied. Clive Baptist Church. Okay, East of Lacombe, Clive Baptist Church is where he's going to be ministering this week. Yeah, and next Sunday he's going to be here. Yeah. So that's pretty exciting. I want to bring the attention to God and to Jesus, and that he works. He works in a variety of ways, right? He doesn't have a set pattern that he does not stray from. He just does marvelous things, the things that surprise us. He reaches out and he impacts us in ways that are not normal. So let me read from Acts chapter 8. I apologize, I didn't get it up on the screen, but Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road, which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. Quote, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is some water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, well, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. Now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. So that the eunuch saw him no more. I love that. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus or something. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. God is not in a box. God's got no box. He's so far outside of the box, he's got no box. And don't you love that? How here's this Ethiopian eunuch guy on his way back to like middle of Africa, right? Wherever Ethiopia is. And whoop, God says to Philip, hey, go stand by that chariot. And so he starts. And it's what this eunuch needed. It's what this guy needed. God met him there with what he needed. And then when he was done, whoop, there's that sound again. He's gone. He was gone. God took him and somehow or other had him out of there, and he was off doing something else that he was supposed to do. All that to say, I'm glad you're here because God can meet you here with what you need. And it's only him that can do that. It's nothing that we're going to do. He gets the credit, and he can meet you here in what it is that you need him for. Maybe that's emotional pain. Maybe it's physical pain. Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe it's regret, whatever. God can meet us here and does so. So praise his holy name. Glorify him. Yeah. There's some good testimonies. Lynn, you know what Lynn told me this morning? She's quit smoking as of 3 weeks ago, right? After 40 years of that. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Thank you, Jesus. You're awesome. So God can meet us in our addictions, and let's meet him there this morning. Let's humble ourselves before him, and let's meet with Jesus here this morning. All right. Now you can fire me.
No, actually, you can fire me.
God, thank you for Stan. Thank you, God, for Stan. Thank you for working in his life and in Crystal's lives. Thank you, God, for blessing them and blessing their children and their grandchildren and their daughters-in-laws. God, thank you for the way you have you've blessed them. God, we pray that we would glorify you, that Stan would glorify you this morning and what he's saying. Lord, that you would speak to us through Stan, and that you would be glorified. We thank you for that, God. We thank you that you're here. We thank you that you hear us. We thank you that you know us and love us. You care for us. And we just want to say thank you, God. Just want to say thank you and honor you with what we do here. In Jesus' name.
I think we all know this, but I'm going to say it anyways. This guy is such a blessing in our church, such a strong leader, such a man of God. Yeah. And he's got a real boldness. He's been leading us boldly. And I'm not here to praise him, but I'm here to praise God. Thank you, Lord, for that. You know, lately, we've been seeing some amazing things going on. God's doing some amazing things, showing us how powerful he is, showing us that he's a healer God. We've had a number of people in the last month or so that have been sick or have been struggling with their health. One of them was Wanda. I don't know if we've talked much about Wanda, but Wanda went off to Calgary here about 6 weeks ago, but almost the day that she left to go to Calgary, the doctor phoned her up and said, you got some kind of cancer in your leg. And she was just so distraught. And anyways, to make a long story short, you know, we prayed for Wanda. We've been praying for her. She went to Calgary. The doctor called her to come back again. She came back again, and the doctor did an MRI, and they said, we can't, there's nothing there. Yeah. Something was there. It's not there no more. You know, whatever that cancer was, whatever that tumor was, it was there. It's not there no more, and that's because God is a healing God. And we miss that stuff. We just keep going on. You know, we're so destination-driven that we don't stop enough to say, hey, wait a minute. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Wanda. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you that you heard that prayer. Thank you for Sonny. Sonny had oxygen for over 2 years, right? Over 4 years. Well, that is over 2 years. And look at him now. He's walking around. He's healthier. Amen? That's a miracle. I really believe that. That's a miracle. Look at Ted. Look at Ted. Ted was in the hospital a couple weeks ago. Ted's not in the hospital anymore, and you're looking better. You're doing well. We have prayed for you, brother. We've prayed for you. We keep praying for you. And just pray for complete health. Gaston, he's in the back ministering to people because that's what he does. It's not because he doesn't like the sermons. It's because he knows his calling is out there. But Gaston was in the hospital. He's been struggling with a number of different kinds of health issues. And God has healed him, and he's losing weight, and he's feeling better, and his diabetes is better, and so many things like that. He's got a list of things that need to happen in his life, and they're happening because God is doing it, and I just say, praise God. All the people said, amen. Amen. I mean, it takes so many different forms, so many different shapes. Someone quit smoking. That's not a little deal. That's a big deal. That's huge. I mean, she just said to me, now I can hug you and I don't stink anymore. And I said, amen. I don't need to smell that cigarette smoke anymore. And there's some of you that want to quit smoking. Well, God, you know, Lynn would testify to that. God did it. God made it happen. Today, just before we get into the word, I want to ask, is Gertie here still or did she have to leave? No, don't tell me she's having a smoke. Gertie and Crystal. Can you come here, Crystal? I want you guys to pray for Mel. Mel is here today. Mel is a dear old friend. And Mel has been diagnosed with cancer. And we just believe in victory over this. I know you do too. We've been praying for you as a congregation. We love you guys. And we just believe that God is going to heal you. He's already healed you. He's going to continue to heal you. Mel's been going through some chemotherapy. And there's a cancer that's attached to your aorta. Is that kind of saying it right? Needs to be smaller before they do the surgery. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter what we think or what the doctors think. Is it okay if we pray for you? All right, I'm going to give you guys the microphone. We've got two women, godly women from our church, and all the rest of us are joining them praying for you today. Let's join and pray.
God, you are the healer. God, and you love Mel. God, she is your beautiful daughter. And God, we just come to you. You said that when we have a need, we can come to you because you hear us. And so, God, I'm just going to praise you. Praise you that we can come to you, that you want us to come and that you've asked us to come. Lord, I want to thank you for that. And I just pray for Mel right now, God. I pray in the name of Jesus, in your name, Jesus, that you will touch her, that you will heal her, that she can continue to be the mother that she is to these children. God, that she will be the wife for Earl. Lord, I just pray for her in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, that you hear our prayer and that even now you are working. I thank you in Jesus' name.
Father, we just call on your powerful anointing over your daughter here, Father. We thank you for Mel. We thank you, Father, you called her long before she was even conceived. You had her name written on your hand. So, Lord, we just know that it is in your heart to bring good for Mel, to bring healing for Mel. Lord, you said to ask and we receive. Lord, we're asking and we're trusting and believing that you have only good for Mel and for this family, and blessing upon blessing. Father, you can heal anything. You can move mountains. There's a mountain, Father, right now for Mel that you can move. And we're asking, believing, trusting in you and your powerful anointing on Mel and on this family. So, Lord, we thank you now for what you're going to do, for the blessings. This woman has got lots of work still to do. And these children need to raise up to know you. And with Mel and Earl, Father, this is a job. And you've called Mel to this, Father. So now we just pronounce her healed in the name of Jesus and by your power, by your blood. We thank you. We thank you. Amen.
Amen.
I was just talking to Earl this morning, and he said it was 12 years ago that both he and Mel were baptized in the river through Potter's hands here. And we just want to praise God for that. You are his daughter. He loves you.
And all the people said, amen. 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 At the end of our service today, we are going to have a meal together. It's already out there, and I think there's going to be plenty of food, so just come and join us. We have a good fellowship when that happens. Just good for us to be able to spend time doing that. And prior to that, Carter's going to be baptized and yeah, in the water, right, buddy? In a few minutes, okay? He's trying to steal my thunder. I'm really excited about that. I'm just so glad to know Carter and getting to know him better and thankful for the faith that he has. He's very faithful in being here, and he's got a real love for Jesus Christ. And that's all that it takes, right? There's no big, long test that you got to take. It's just a question, do you love Jesus? And then you should be baptized because you belong. It's about belonging to Christ. The other thing just to want to mention is that in about a month, we're going to be in the river doing a baptism for those of you who want to come to the river. So on the 10th of September, we're going to have another river baptism. And if you haven't been baptized, or if you just want to be baptized, you want to recommit your life to Christ, that's an opportunity. Just let me know. We want to be able to do that. We're grateful for that. And it's always a great Sunday when we go down to the river. Amen? So, look forward to that and pray for that. And then one last thing before I open the word today is just last Sunday we went after church to the Cowboys Bar. How many of you were there? We're missing always half the people this time of the month because they're all addicted to camping and other terrible things. Holidays and vacations. But we had a great time. We went to the Cowboys Bar, and you know, I talked earlier about all the different ways that God does miracles. Well, that's another way that he does miracles. He is providing that place so that we can move into a whole new way of ministry. We're opening a big thrift store there. And it's time you can go, woo, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting. And we went through there and we prayed. And I know there's some stuff on, it's Facebook, I think. So it's on Facebook. You'll see Tim had a prophetic word, and there's a few other people did. And we just were there praying and speaking life and speaking light into a very dark place. But this is an exciting thing. There is no thrift store in downtown Red Deer. And I just want to I'm going to try to keep you informed about this as we go along with it. But keep praying. The prayers are really working. They're really helpful. There's a lot of buzz going on right now. There's a stir, you know, a lot of chitter chatter going on all through City Hall and different social agencies. Everybody's wondering what we're up to, and it's all good. Like, that's all right. We've got nothing to hide. What we're really up to is we want to see people come to know Jesus Christ. That's really what we're up to. And I want to just reiterate this because I want to make sure we don't get off track. And Crystal brought it up yesterday to me. She said, you know, we just got to keep this, you know, got to remember the vision. Our vision is not to sell clothing. That's not our vision. Our vision is to see people come to know Jesus, to see people in the water, to see people repent and turn to Christ and be set free. That's our vision. But if God uses a kitchen, if God uses a soup kitchen, or if God uses a thrift store, or God uses other ways so that we get to know people, so that our light shines and so they recognize it, what a great tool that is, right? What a great tool that is. And that we're going to keep that on, you know, we're never going to be a good business. We're not about business. We are going to run a good thrift store, but it's going to always be about bringing Christ, getting to know people, and welcoming them into the community that is the community of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. I'm gonna put a muzzle on you if you keep it up. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all the ways that we can attest to the power of God working among us, working in this place. You deliver us from smoking. You heal those who are ill. You open up new doors of ministry that we would never even dream about if it wasn't for you. And we just give you praise and glory. We don't want to miss it. We want to see what you're doing. Thank you for Carter and that he's so ready to give his life. He's given his life to you already. But to be baptized and to see that full immersion, that cleansing of all of our sins, and we all get to see it. We are all privileged to be here for that reason today. We thank you, God. Open your word. Make it clear to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 8. And this is kind of a familiar story. We hear this a lot. In fact, I remember someone coming from one of the River team when they were here a year ago. The guy preached on this story about, you know, when the demonic guy gets healed and all the demons, there are many demons in him, and they go into the pigs. It's one of these stories that sometimes leaves us with more questions than answers. You know, why does Jesus send the demons into the pigs? And what happened? One of the questions I've always had, well, what happens to the demons once they're in the pigs and once they drown? Like, I think we have more questions sometimes than answers. And truthfully today, I don't want to talk about the pigs. So most of the time when I've preached on this, I've talked about the pigs and what an interesting thing it is that Jesus sends the demons. We're not going to talk about the pigs today at all. That'll be for other sermons that we've either heard about in the past or that you'll hear in the future. There's other things that we want to talk about. So let's read this together. We're reading in Luke chapter 8, verse 26. And here's what we read there. So they sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. And when Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. And for a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but he had lived in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and he fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of God, the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because of many demons had gone into him. The word legion means many, right? So he has the name Legion, 6,000. That's what there's 6,000 was in a legion, a Roman legion. And they begged him repeatedly, they, meaning the demons in him, they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and the demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. And when the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs, I don't think the pig owner said amen, by the way, when that happened, but there at least you can say amen. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in town and to the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed in his right mind. Dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured, and then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." And so the man went away, and he told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. You say amen?
Amen.
This is a well-loved story. I love this story. And like I said, sometimes there's lots of questions. I don't understand everything. I don't know why God, why Jesus does what he does in this story. But today I want to focus on a verse in verse 29. When it talks about the kind of condition this man was in because he was so demon-possessed, the kind of place where he found himself because he was so overcome by these evil spirits that were inside of him, it says that many times the spirits seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot, that he had this sort of remarkable strength that he received from this enemy, from these evil spirits. Even though he was chained hand and foot, he was kept under guard. He broke the chains, and he was driven. Now just here's the part I want you to think about. He was driven by the demons into solitary places. I wonder about those solitary places and how many times you or I have found ourselves in those deserted, solitary, isolated places. And if we've recognized when those things have happened to us that the reason we're in that black hole, the reason we're in that very deep dungeon, the reason why we're in that isolated place is because there's demons who really want us to be just there. I think about the guy with the needle about to put the needle into his arm, and I think that guy is in a very solitary place. Or I know a lot of guys who have tiny little rooms, and they sit there with a TV on and a six-pack or a 12-pack of beer, and they just sit there every night doing the very same thing over and over again. And they live, really. They live in that solitary confinement. They live in that isolated place. Or the person who's got the pills, and she's been saving them up, and she has a couple bottles now, and she knows what she wants to do with them. And she wants to take her life. That person, too, is another example of someone who is pushed into that dark hole, pushed into that place of solitary confinement, not just by life circumstances, not just because things haven't gone well, not just because she's ill, but because there are demonic forces. There is an enemy, can we agree on that today, who pushes people to that brink, to that place in their lives where they're willing to do absolutely awful things because they find themselves in solitary places like this guy did, right? And that sometimes we get stuck on terminology. We don't know if we should talk about demons or evil spirits or unclean spirits or who's doing all this. Let's just talk about enemy. Let's use kind of a broad term today. Let's agree not to argue about this. And I'm going to be the first to say I don't even understand some of this stuff, but I do understand what Jesus did in this situation, and that's what I want to talk about. I don't want to talk about what I know. I want to talk about what I learn in the Scriptures and what the Scriptures teach us. And the first thing the Scriptures teach us is that this is how the enemy works. And whether he works through demonic powers or forces or illness or sickness or any number of other ways, he wants to push us out of the light. And he wants us to find ourselves in solitary confinement where we think the only thing that's left for us to do is some terrible, awful thing. Some really, really poor choice. One of the things that strikes me when I read this passage today that I think is really important is that the demons in this story, the demons who make up this person called Legion, the demons who are all this number of unclean and demonic forces that are living within this man who's gone crazy, who's living out in the rocks, the demons know who Jesus is. Let's start with that today. Isn't that a good place to start? I like to start there. The demons have no, the other people don't know who Jesus is. Let's get the picture painted here properly. There's all kinds of people in this picture, and they don't know who Jesus is. They're trying to figure out who this guy is. He's a pretty good teacher. He's doing some kind of cool stuff. He's doing some miracles, but most of them don't know that this is Jesus yet. But let's make no mistake about it. The demons know exactly who Jesus is. And I like what they say. They say to him, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Say that with me. Jesus, Son of the Most High God. Let's do it one more time so it's imprinted in our hearts. Jesus, Son of the Most High God. That is who the demons refer to Jesus as. You are Jesus. You are the Son of the Most High God. They know, right? Even the demons know Jesus. They know who he is. In James chapter 2, we're told in James chapter 2 that even the demons know who Christ is. That the demons believe in God. He says, you believe in God? Good for you. Even the demons believe in God. And they shudder. At least they have the good sense to shudder. You don't. That's kind of what he's saying, right? You believe in God? Well, even the demons believe in God. And the disciples in Luke chapter 10, remember when Jesus sent the disciples out? Luke chapter 10, he sent the disciples out, and the 72 returned with joy. And you know what they said? They said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Even the demons submit to us in your name. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, and I've given you authority. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all kinds of power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. But do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The demons in this story, and I believe in all across the board, they know who Jesus is. And they know the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting, too, that they don't just say, oh, we know who you are. You're Jesus. No, they say, you are Jesus, Son of the Most High God. Another example, if you have your Bibles, back to Luke chapter 4, another story. 4 verse 33, I don't have it on the screen. I just looked at this morning. 4 verse 33, listen to this. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, ha! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Do you get that? I know who you are, the demon says. You are the Holy One of God. So I'm going to start by just understanding this. We don't need to convince the enemy or any demonic power or any spirit or any unclean spirit or any manifestation of darkness. We don't need to convince him or it who Jesus is. They know who Jesus is. They know they need to run. They know they should panic. They know they should beg. And by the way, I can't get into this, but you look how much they beg in here. They're begging them. They're begging them. Oh, Jesus, have mercy on us. Send us into the pigs. I don't know why, but they want to go in the pigs, right? Jesus, they beg him. Don't torture us. I don't know if he's got a habit of torturing them or not, or they're just going nuts, but they're begging him, right? They know who Jesus is. Amen? And they know that Jesus has the power. They know that he's got the authority. There's no question about this, that when Jesus says, you do this, they're going to do it. They have to. They have to bow. Even, that's what the disciples said, even the demons turn when we say turn, and they respond in the name of Christ. And that's good news. So here's a power that just didn't just end, you know, with the disciples. We have that today, too. Do you agree with that? We have power in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, every spirit will submit to my name. Every spirit. We have the power of Jesus' name. Now, the second thing that's interesting, I think it's important in here, is that Jesus, even though they know who Jesus is, Jesus wants to identify who they are. He wants to know the enemy, and that's important. I believe that when we're working in the realm of this darkness, when we're working in the realm of the enemy here, we need to know what enemy we're talking about. And that's what Jesus asked. He said, who are you? It's actually the only question that Jesus asks. Who are you? And they say, Legion. Our name is Legion. Jesus identifies the enemy. He wants to know who the enemy is. That's probably pretty good warfare instruction, right? It's something we ought to know. You better know who your enemy is. If you're going to be in a war, you know, we know who Mussolini was. We know who Hitler was. We know who the leader of North Korea is, Kim Jong-un, right? One of the enemies of, I think, the Western world, maybe one of the more scary people we know. You ought to know who your enemy is. It's kind of important. right? Some of you guys have been in the military before. It's probably one of the first things they teach you. You need to know who your enemy is. You need to identify them. In war, you get identified by the kind of uniform you wear. If you're on the other side, you wear a different color than I do because I want to know who you are. You're not my enemy, by the way, Fort Tong, but you know what I'm saying, right? We need to identify the enemy, and we don't do this very well. We need to learn how to do this better. One of the first things that Jesus does when he confronts Legion is he says, I want to know who you are. Who are you? And he's got no choice but to answer truthfully. I am Legion, for there are many of us, right? Please don't torture us. Please send us into the pigs. We need to know who our enemy is. And what that means a lot of times is we got to do a little introspection in our own lives, because your enemy likely is different than my enemy. The demon, again, I'm just using terms here. Don't get caught up in the terms. But the demon that you fight against might be different than the demon that I fight against. But if you don't identify who that demon is or what that thing is or what that temptation is or what that sin is, if we don't identify it and we don't speak against it, then we're never going to win that battle. This is what Jesus did. Jesus identified the enemy and then he spoke against it. And we have the power, we have the ability to do exactly the same thing. Do you believe that? Is that what God's word's teaching us, right? So it might be jealousy, you know? Your demon, your sin, your temptation, your darkness. It might be jealousy. It might be bitterness. It might be pride. It might be self-pity. And sometimes these things, these demonic powers, they join together, right? They do. I'll tell you that self-pity gets along really well with resentment. And self-pity and resentment get along really well with bitterness. And they kind of join together sometimes. So self-pity and bitterness and resentment get along really well with depression. And depression and self-pity and resentment and bitterness get along really well with suicide. You understand? That we got to start seeing things in the spiritual realm, because we're talking here in the spiritual realm. And that's why I'm not able to maybe explain this as clearly as I'd like to, because we're talking about a spiritual realm. I don't always understand or get it all, but I know that sometimes there can be a legion of forces attacking me. Now, people have different opinions on this. I believe that the enemy can oppress me, but he can't possess me. I am possessed by the Holy Spirit. I am owned by the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of me. The enemy can't get inside of me, right? But he can come from externally. There's an external pressure, not an internal. He's not living in me. But there can be an external pressure that he puts on us through all kinds of different means and manners and different demonic powers and different enemies. And I'm saying today is yours is different than mine. It can be pride. It can be, you know, selfish ambition. Let's use that one, you know, because that can be one of mine. I'll be honest. There can be one of mine. I know that selfish ambition can come on me, and it's all about me, and pride joins in with that, and it becomes a stand story, and I got to speak against that, right? And what you speak against is probably a whole different thing than what I speak against. But the wonderful news of Jesus and what he teaches us here today is that we're able to speak against it. You can speak against your smoking. You can maybe, you know, what was your type of brand of cigarette you smoke? Palm Olive. Palm Olive? Isn't that a thing you put on your hands? Palm Mall. Oh, okay. I'm not very good at cigarettes. Sorry. I thought you said Palm Olive. I'm going, that's a soup. Isn't that a detergent of some sort? Palm Mall. You can address that. I think that we need to learn to address these things. We need to speak to them and say, the bat's blue ribbon, I speak to you. Get out of my life. Get out of my life. You have no authority. You have no power. And in the name of Jesus, I take my life back. Yeah. Amen? Well, and here's the thing that I think is important, too, is we don't need to yell and scream and raise the volume to the number 10. You don't see Jesus doing that. Sometimes we think that the louder I am, the more faith I've got. That's not true. Just because you say something loudly or because you say it more, over and over and over again, that's not really going to scare the enemy any more than if you just speak it confidently, in faith, declaring in the name of Jesus, the Holy One, Jesus, the Son of God, that I have authority. I have authority over this in my life. I am no longer going to be in this solitary place. I'm no longer going to be in this solitary place because I speak victory. I speak freedom because Christ has given me that freedom. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's just take, I want you to just take 1 minute. I'm not going to say anything for 1 minute. I want you to think about, and I'll tell you why I'm doing this, because otherwise I go on to the next thing and you just forget about what we just said. I want you to just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal in your life, you know, selfish ambition, pride, jealousy, whatever it is, God, what do I need to speak against? What is this demonic power? So 1 minute. Can we do that right now? Ask God. Amen. You need to spend more time than 1 minute at this. But let this just be a beginning of that. And ask God. Here's the cool thing that we know from the scriptures. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. He's going to reveal exactly what you need to battle against. It can be pornography. You know, it can be theft. The list could go on and on and on. And I encourage you to learn from this today that we have the ability and the power to speak in faith, to speak in faith. I'm going to do one last thing here, though. I want to talk about one last thing before we baptize Carter, and that is, I want to just ask you to take another good look at this story, because there's one part of this story that for all of my life I've never understood, and that is the part where we get to the crowd saying this, that in verse 37, that all the people, I never understood this part, never. That all the people in the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear, and so he got into the boat and he left. I have never understood why that happened. I believe, I mean, the way I think, I guess, the way my thinking goes, is if Jesus was here and he started to heal people and we knew this guy and he was, you know, full of demons and he was naked and he was cutting himself and Jesus came and he just touched him and the guy was totally changed, right? I believe that most of us are going to go, I'm coming back next week. I think I'm not going camping next week. I'm going to be here, right? It's a little dig, right? Okay. I think we're not going to say, Jesus, get out of here. We're going to say, Jesus, can you come again? Do you think we could have a meeting tonight? Because there's a bunch of other people that need to see you, Jesus, right? So what I don't understand here is I do not understand why all, we're not told some of the people, all the people are scared to death suddenly. They're wholly afraid. And they're going, Jesus, it's time for you to go. You've healed this guy. We don't want any part of you anymore. Please go. Vamos. And Jesus leaves. I don't understand that except for one thing. And I believe that this is kind of a new revelation to me today. I want you to sort of see if you think this is true. But earlier on in the story, the man who had Legion possess him was the Legion, the demons themselves were full of fear, right? Just full of fear. Afraid of Jesus. Don't torture us. Please, Lord, don't do bad things to us. Please, they're begging him. Leave me alone, they say. Leave me alone. We don't want you, Jesus. Jesus, we know who you are. They're afraid. That fear went from Legion into the pigs, right? The pigs get all scattered, and they're going nuts, and they're jumping off of cliffs, which I don't think pigs normally do, but they do in this story because they're filled with evil spirits. The fear goes from Legion to the pigs. But have you ever noticed before that now the fear is back in the crowds? Yeah. The fear is back. You know what? The fear doesn't really die unless we ask Jesus in. And I want to leave you with that story, the last part of that story today. I want you to think about that. The fear really doesn't die with the pigs. And so we have this crazy event where the people are going, even though they should be just embracing Jesus and thanking Jesus and saying, Lord, when can we have another meeting with you? Let's pray together. And they're going, Jesus, get out of here. You get out of here right now. We don't want you here. It's because that same fear, that same demonic power is now in the crowds. And fear is going to just keep circling us. Hear me today. Fear is going to keep circling us until we invite Jesus to come in. When we come, when he comes in, when he overcomes, takes our lives, and we surrender to him, then fear will not dominate us. There will not be this perpetual cycle of fear just finding a place to reign. And that's what the story's about. Fear reigns in the pigs. Fear reigns in the demonic person. And fear reigns in the crowds. And you know, here's something to not miss either, is that when the people said to Jesus, Jesus, you get out of here, he did. Yeah, wow. You tell Jesus to get lost, he will. I mean, he likely will come back again. Thankfully, you know, some of us, he had to come a few times before we finally said, okay, Jesus, don't get lost, get in. And I mean, really, isn't that, that's a choice. The choice is, are you going to say to Jesus, get lost or get in? Just get in. I'm tired of running from you. I'm tired of this cycle of fear. I'm tired of this demonic power, this enemy that keeps dominating my life and keeps me in that dark room of solitary confinement. I can only ask you the question today, but it's such a good question. Are you saying get out or get in? And I'll promise you this. And brothers and sisters, this is really good news. That when you say get in, he will surely come in. You say get out, and he's a gentleman, he's going to walk away. You say, okay, let me know when. Because I stand at the door, and I knock. And if anyone will open the door, I will come in, and I will dine with him. As surely as you say to him today, get in, he will come in. Man, that's good news. You know, he's come in, he's changed my life. He's helped me to speak against the demonic, against the weaknesses, against the illnesses, against whatever word you want to use, against the enemy. And he's done that for so many of us who are here today. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. And you know, I want to end on that note because it's really what baptism is all about. It kind of segues pretty nicely into baptism. And it's really Carter today is saying, get in. when you get in, he gets into you, right? Let me get the microphone a minute. I want to hear from you. But this is the good news of Jesus Christ, right? This is the good news. So Lori's here, and I think your other family, I don't know your name, sorry.
Ernie.
Ernie? Glad you're here, Ernie. We have been so blessed to have you guys part of our church. And Carter, I'm going to give you the mic, and you say what's on your heart today, okay?
The reason I'm here today is to get in that pillow like you were saying earlier.
Yep.
And I'll take my clothes off when it's time.
Yep. We're going to leave your clothes on, okay? We're going to treat you really well today.
Yeah.
We'll just get them wet today, okay? And then we'll put dry clothes on after that.
And please be careful.
You're all covered, Carter.
Okay.
I'm all covered.
He wants you to talk about how you feel about God.
Yeah.
That's what he wants to hear.
God is really good to me.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you, Sam, for giving me the opportunity to do this.
Man, it's my privilege. I'm really privileged to know you, Carter. And I know that you love Jesus. And I know that you're a faithful son of God. And we're so glad. I think there's a lot of things we need to learn. You're teaching me some stuff, and I want to learn more. You have faith in God. You're here every Sunday. Lori brings you, right? And this is not, this is not some kind of a one-time fad. This is because your heart belongs to Jesus Christ. So, yeah, amen. So, are you ready for this? Yeah. Do you want to say anything, Lori? You can if you want.
No.
Okay. Anything else? Carter, you know that Jesus loves you, right? Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Let anyone come to me, and I will receive them. Yeah, okay, good.
When I first started bringing Carter here, I was worried because some people like Carter can be kind of demanding, and they want attention. So I thought, okay, this is another attention thing. You know, let's get Mom up and early on a Sunday morning and get him to church, you know. But after church, we always go to a restaurant, like Dragon City or someplace like that, and he still does it to this day. We've been here for probably close to 2 years, I guess. He always asks Bonnie, okay, what did we learn at church today? And that'd be like one of the first questions they would discuss, you know, after eating lunch. So I know now that it's really important to him.
Amen.
And then we started thinking about baptizing him even last summer. Bonnie and I would kind of discuss here and there little bits and pieces. So this year I just said, you know, we're going to do it, and let's just do it. So,
amen.
So I'm going to be nervous, okay?
That's okay. I am too.
I think it's really going to...
Yeah.
And then we discussed, too, about the, like, drizzling the water. We could go that way, but I thought about it. And Carter, because Carter had seen people being baptized in the pool already, hold on, Carter. I thought, you know, all these years, Carter's 27, all these years, for most of his life, he has listened to us. You know, okay, Mom and Dad asked me to do this, so I will do this. And I thought, you know, we can flip that around this one time.
Yes.
And it was his decision to be immersed, so I thought, well.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I think that's the way to do it, man. I think that's the way to do it.
And they got the towels.
The towels are ready. And there's three of us that are glad about that, so that's good. You know, Jesus, you know, in Romans it talks about how we're buried with him in baptism. That's why we go all the way in. It's really a burial. You go in, you leave your sins. Your sins are behind you, and we are raised up to new life. There's a brand new life. Some of you should be thinking about this for the river in a month. And that's all I'm saying. I hope you think about it. This is an important thing. This is an important way to show that you belong to Jesus. Amen. Okay, so what's the best way? How do we hold them? And can you hold this? Well, I know one thing we want is everyone to come on up. Everyone come up. And Crystal's going to be ready to sing that song, I've Decided to Follow Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Carter James Alford Bailey.
James
Alford Bailey.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Can you say praise the Lord?
Decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Sun. I've got a home in glory down and out shines the sun. Oh, I was young. Do Lord, oh, do Lord, oh, Lord, for me. Do Lord, oh, do Lord, oh, Lord, for me. Do Lord, oh, do Lord, oh, do remember me. Oh, you're young and the show. Woo-hoo-hoo.